Hey everybody, Rob Mauer here, and today we've got a Cybertruck range test to discuss. We've also got rumors on 4680 batteries, sales updates, and a few other items as well. The broader market drought to start off the year has continued today. The NASDAQ down another 0.6% on the day, Tesla down about 0.25% to $237.93. So still red, but an overperformance to the broader market. All right, we'll start off with the Cybertruck. The Out of Spec channel has gotten a Cybertruck that they've been doing a lot of testing on over the last couple of days. Sounds like there's going to be a lot more testing to come, so I presume we'll talk about this again, but they have now posted a video with a Cybertruck range test from 100% state of charge to 0%, and truly 0%, they ran this all the way down and let it die in a parking lot. So not a 0% indicated, like maybe we have seen in other range tests, which could allow for a little bit of a buffer after that. Effectively real zero in this test, although probably a little bit of capacity left for low voltage usages at that point. The version they were testing was the dual motor all-wheel drive configuration with the all-terrain tires. So these are the larger tires, probably a little bit more rolling resistance on these tires, which knocks Tesla's EPA estimated range down from 340 miles to 318 miles with this configuration. The test was done at highway speeds, so 70 miles per hour for the majority of the test, which I think for many people is where the range figure is most important rather than just having extra range to drive around town. Maybe that's important if you don't have charging at home or things like that, but range at highway speeds I think is very important. The EPA test cycle tests at low speeds and higher speeds, but really not even quite highway speeds. So just like for other Teslas and for other EVs, we should expect a lower range figure than the EPA estimate in a test like this. That is indeed what ended up happening. 100% to 0% was 254 miles on this test, so about 80% of the EPA rated range. Now the other major factor to consider here is that the testing was done at about 45 degrees Fahrenheit. It's about 7 degrees Celsius, and that is cold enough where that's going to have a negative impact on any electric vehicle's range. Considering the temperature, and if your expectations are at all based on the reality of EPA estimates, then I think this is actually a pretty good result for the Cybertruck. It'd be a lot to ask, way too much to ask, but it would have been awesome if they had done a side-by-side test with another Tesla vehicle that has around a 320-mile EPA range estimate. That would give us a great comparison in these exact conditions, but based on my own experiences with my Model 3, this is kind of right around where I'd expect, maybe even a little bit better than I would have expected going into the test. The one other thing to keep in mind here, though, is that this is a pretty much brand new Cybertruck. This is before maybe some degradation for the batteries would happen. That tends to happen earlier on in the life cycle of the cell. We don't have as much information about this on the 4680s, so the degradation there could be a little bit different. But if you're strictly looking at the comparison of the actual tested range versus the initial EPA estimated range, that is something that we could expect to have maybe another 5 or 10% impact as the battery moves along its life cycle. Anyway, thanks to Out of Spec for sharing this test. I think it's a great test, and we'll keep an eye out for other range and efficiency tests, as of course this is going to vary a lot by circumstance. All right, next up we've got a 4680 battery rumor. This is coming from Joe Tegmeyer, of course, does a lot of drone flyovers at Giga Texas, has some connections there over the years, I think. And it sounds like through those, he's hearing a little bit about Tesla's targets this year on 4680s. So two parts to this rumor. Joe first says that Tesla is working on changing the battery chemistry a bit, which I don't think is too surprising. Tesla has alluded to that in the past a number of different times. Joe says Tesla's working on going from an NMC811, which would be nickel manganese cobalt in an 8-to-1-to-1 ratio, to a little bit more nickel-heavy composition with an NMC955, or 90% nickel, 5% manganese, 5% cobalt. From the rumor, it sounds like this would be expected to improve the energy density of 4680s, and then Joe also says that they are trialing asymmetric lamination within the dry battery electrode process, which, as the name implies, would be a thicker coating of the cathode or anode active materials on one side of the copper or aluminum foil than on the other side. So it sounds like a pretty interesting and novel technique. I always like to look at Jordan's opinion from The Limiting Factor for battery-related items like this, and he said this is something, a technique that he has never heard of before, which is, I think, really saying something. Now again, this is just a rumor. Both of these items are just rumors, but Joe is saying that with both of these changes, Tesla will be able to increase the capacity of the 4680 battery initially used in 2023 by a further range between 10 and 20%. Now, this does say it would increase capacity by 10 to 20%, not necessarily energy density. I would assume that energy density would play a role in increased capacity on the same line. But there is a chance that this could refer solely to production capacity rather than just energy capacity of an individual cell. If this were talking specifically about energy density, this would obviously be a massive improvement. I don't think Tesla will talk about these things in such specific detail, but hopefully on the Q4 earnings call, we hear a lot more about the progress for 4680s in general. All right, next up, we've got a quick report from Reuters. There was a headline today that Tesla had been urged by senators to remain neutral on union organization efforts. This was a letter from 33 senators. It went to Tesla and 12 other automakers. I don't think this is something that is too material, but some headlines around it. And of course, Tesla gets a prominent mention in anything like that. But obviously, Tesla is subjected to and acting under the same legal framework as all other automakers are. So this is probably more political showmanship than anything else. Next, we've got a couple of quick Highland Model 3 related updates. The first is another drone flyover video from Met God in the Wilderness of the Fremont facilities. And in the flyover, they did spot more Highland Model 3s at the factory. So we talked about some reports of these being seen at the factory. We've now got some further confirmation of that, another sighting of a few of these Highland vehicles on the Fremont factory premises. And then there's apparently been a report going around some Chinese media with a photo of a Highland Model 3 that is being purported to be an updated Model Y. There's a little Model Y badge on the back suggesting a Highland-esque update for the Model Y, which we do expect at some point, but this particular image, despite the badge, does appear to just be a Model 3. It kind of reminds me of the Model Y unveiling days when Tesla Q people out there were saying that the Model Y was just a Model 3 and there was no actual Model Y, which was pretty funny having actually been at the Model Y event, but a little bit of an opposite scenario in this case. So if you did happen to see that, it does again just look like this is a Model 3. Next, we've got a couple of country updates. First, in China, Wuhua's got a new video of the Shanghai port. Looks like there are a number of Tesla vehicles here ready for departure for export. So when we think of Tesla's inventory number, sure, there are some of those waiting to be sold sitting around, but there are also vehicles like this that are on a boat, at a port, etc. Hopefully a good sign, though, of continued strength from Giga Shanghai as we kick off the new year. Wrapping up the year, we've got some good data coming in for other countries. Obviously, we keep a pretty close eye on China, not as much in the other countries as those can fluctuate a lot more based off of allocation and export decisions, especially looking month to month. But numbers over longer periods can be a little bit more telling, and we've got some good insights put together here by Tavi on X, who I know has been a listener for a long time. He's put together some good data on Germany, which is, of course, of a little bit extra importance given Tesla's factory in the country. So quite a few interesting charts here. We'll focus on one that looks at Tesla's market share, which is something that I don't tend to look at a whole lot, but in this case, it's looking at trailing 12-month market share on a rolling basis. And this is for Tesla both on the basis of new car sales in total and battery electric vehicle sales as a subset. So historically, there has been a little bit of volatility here, so I don't think it's something to necessarily overreact to, but historically, Tesla's been growing their share in at least one of these categories, and over the last year or so, it looks like Tesla's share has started to slip in both, where if it were just a percent of total vehicle sales, we could say, okay, there's always some tax credit stuff that is changing EVs in general. If it's just battery electric vehicle market share, not really a big deal. As we've talked about, that can fall naturally just from other automakers growing off of a lower base. But both happening at the same time, especially a little bit after Tesla has opened a factory in the country, doesn't seem to be the most positive sign. We would hope that maybe this would be driven by Tesla just deciding to export to other countries, and that very well may be the case. It would seem like maybe prioritize locally with the factory there, but again, a lot of that's going to depend on incentives, where Tesla can get the highest average selling price and best margins overall. That's going to drive a lot of those decisions, but it is still something that is worth keeping an eye on. Obviously, the next generation vehicle is going to be the most important thing for this in future years, but in the interim period, still a trend that I think is worth monitoring. On the more positive side, and perhaps an example of how some of these things can be affected by allocation decisions, we do have total year sales for Denmark. As we've talked about before, Model Y best-selling vehicle in history, but Tesla also the number one brand for automotive car sales in Denmark for 2023, with almost 13% market share, and a market share lead that happened really quickly. That's up from just 2% in 2022. So always nice to see that strength in Denmark. All right, last few items here. Last night, Elon Musk was on a space with Peter Diamandis, who helps organize XPRIZE, which Elon has been involved with a couple of times, most recently for carbon capture methods. Not a whole lot on the discussion that related specifically to Tesla, but Elon did mention that for Tesla, battery production is growing at several times the rate of vehicle production, some cases almost 10x, he said. Now, keep in mind, we have had a little bit of a slowdown in growth in vehicle production, and Tesla with battery production is going from a very small base at this moment, so not the most meaningful comment, but he did sound pretty positive in terms of tone when he was discussing it, so I think that's nice to see. We've also got a couple other automaker updates. This happened a few days ago, but Rivian had reported their Q4 numbers. Interestingly, production was up a decent amount quarter over quarter to about 17,000 vehicles, but deliveries, as we can see from the chart from Inside EVs, were actually down quarter over quarter despite the increase in production. Now, there can be a lot of reasons for that, something to keep an eye on though, as we have started to see inventory also show up for Rivian at this point. And then Ford has also published their U.S. sales figures for the fourth quarter, so we can take an updated look at our charts for their electric vehicles. First, the F-150 Lightning, actually a decent month in December, a little bit down month over month from their high in November. But overall, a very strong quarter for the F-150 Lightning relative to prior quarters after they did have that production shutdown and production rate upgrade. For the Mustang Mach-E, not quite as positive. Of course, it was also dealing with the expiration of the tax credit, so maybe a little bit of an additional incentive to take delivery in the fourth quarter. But for December, sales were just a little bit better than November, still below a couple of months in the third quarter. And from a total quarter perspective, Q4 was down sequentially for the Mustang Mach-E from the third quarter. So I think some pretty tough indications here for the Mustang Mach-E, especially as they now have to compete with the Model Y retaining the tax credit, Mustang Mach-E no longer having the tax credit as we sit here in 2024. All right, and then last item for today, an interesting development for Mobileye. Of course, used to provide autopilot hardware for Tesla and a big industry provider of driver assistance technology. Their stock was down 25% today as they updated guidance saying that they have discovered that their customers are sitting on a lot of inventory from them, which seems a little bit odd. You would think there'd be better visibility into something like this, both from a forecasting and just current inventory perspective. I don't know if it's just bad forecasting and inventory management, or if it's something relating to optionality on certain vehicles not being high enough uptake rate. I'm not really sure, but whatever the situation is, a big hit to Mobileye today. But that will wrap it up for today. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on X at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Friday, January 5th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.